Welcome to the Faith Heights Church audio podcast. We pray that this message will bless you and feed your faith as you listen in today. If you would like to help get these messages to more people, then go to faithheights.org and click on the Giving tab.
Glad you're here tonight. We're getting ready for one of the greatest Resurrection Sundays we've ever had. So excited. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. And I'm going to just exhort you, like Pastor Dominic said, for a few moments. Daniel chapter 12. This revelation is getting stronger and stronger in me to where it's going to overflow into a book. They brought, he healed. Without they brought, Jesus wouldn't have been able to heal very many people. Let's look here in Daniel 12 in verse 3. Daniel 12 in verse 3. It says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So this is talking about turning people from darkness to light, helping people to see what Jesus has done for them so they can come out of the darkness and out of the snare and out of the bondage. And this scripture here talks about if we're involved with that, we're smart. It reminds me of Proverbs 11, where it says, "He that wins souls is wise." Wasn't that a great definition of wins on Sunday morning that Pastor brought forth? He that wins souls is wise. And it says here, "They that be wise." And he's connecting this also to the last part of this verse, "turning many to righteousness." I think this is interesting because this is actually talking about rewards after this life for the things we did for the Lord in this life. And I think it's sometimes it's kind of like the stars in the sky. They're all bright, but some are brighter than others. Which ones are brighter than others? In this verse, it talks about those who are involved with soul winning. I don't know. I guess the brightness of our life is going to get a little stronger when we're in heaven because of what we did for winning souls while we're on the earth. I think even Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15 about the stars. One star is brighter than another, and another star is brighter than another. And I think a lot of that brightness has to do with our taking winning souls, turning many to righteousness seriously. And that's a cool thing. Did you notice it's not, you know, Proverbs says, "He that wins souls is wise." It's not just having a bunch of knowledge that makes us wise. If you really want to be wise in God's eyes, we're making room for winning souls. We're making room for they brought. We're making room for evangelism in our own lives. I wanted to read you something Kenneth Hagin said that the Lord told him in a vision. And if you have the book, I Believe in Visions, you'll see it in that book there. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin about 7 times in his earth walk here. And this is one of the times he appeared to him. And he said this about soul winning. So I'm going to quote Jesus as Brother Hagin is telling us in his book what Jesus said word for word. He says, Brother Hagin said, "Jesus was standing there and I stood in his presence and Jesus was holding a crown in his hands." This is one of the visions he had of the Lord. He said, "This crown was so extraordinarily beautiful that human language cannot begin to describe it. Jesus told me, quote, 'This is a soul winner's crown. My people are so careless and so indifferent. This crown is for every one of my children. I speak and I say, go, speak to this one or pray for that one. But my people are too busy. They put it off and souls are lost because they will not obey me.' When Jesus said that, I wept before him and I knelt down and repented of all my failures." That's amazing. The Lord at times prompts us to invite people, to bring people, to pray for people, to do something for people in the name of the Lord. And a lot of times his people aren't getting it. They're not realizing that's from the head of the church. That's from the Lord himself. And we get so busy doing this and so busy doing that. You know, a lot of things that are preached in this local church when it comes to challenging us to do certain things, most people do not have time to do those things. So what do we do? Do we stress out and try to cram the things of God? Or do we unbook and delete some things and quit trying to cram the things of God in our already overbooked schedule. It's called making room for the things of God. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, if I stop doing this thing that's taking all my time, if I stop doing this thing that's sucking all my time, if I stop doing this, would I be in disobedience to the Lord if I stopped it? If the answer is no, you wouldn't be in disobedience. Why are we letting it take up so much of our time? This is kind of one way to find out if what you're doing is the will of God, an authorized thing of the Lord, or an unauthorized thing, just something maybe you want to do, is ask yourself, if I stopped it, would I be in disobedience? Because if you wouldn't be in disobedience, why would we be letting it take up so much of our time when we should be thinking about what He wants us to do? And I tell you, church, there are some things the Lord wants us to do in these last days. I believe we're called into the kingdom for such a time as this. We're gifted for such a time as this. We're seasoned for such a time as this. And I'm telling you, if we're all listening to the Lord, we're going to have a lot of things to do that we don't have time to do. Unless we analyze all our involvements, delete unauthorized involvements. Some people say, well, I'd work in the church, but I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. That's a problem. We should never be so busy that doing what the Lord wants us to do or meeting a need in the church is stressful. People interpret serving God as stressful because they're trying to cram the things of God in their already overbooked schedule. It wouldn't be stressful if we made time and made room for it. And so I wanted to read this to you here because when Jesus had that crown, you know, He's talking about a very beautiful crown, and crowns represent positions of authority in the next life, being overseer over whatever, cities or whatever. And when He talks about a crown, He's talking about a very beautiful crown that also projects having authority in the life to come, in the millennium, because of certain things we did on the earth. And He called it a soul winner's crown. Now, we may not be super excited about that right now, but there's coming a day we're going to be very excited about that, and we're going to be very thankful we took soul winning serious, or we might shed a few tears because we didn't take soul winning seriously. So if you would, please turn with me now to Matthew chapter 9. Let me just say a couple things for those who weren't here last week, or if you were here, let's hear it again and get it deeper. Matthew chapter 9, there is what's called a they brought ministry. It's a very legitimate ministry. It's a powerful New Testament ministry. And there's something real interesting about these phrases, because what we're going to read here in Matthew 9, verse 1 and 2, you'll find this phraseology all through the New Testament, even in the book of Acts, after Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, ascended out of the earth realm. The language is still used in the church age. Verse 1, and He entered into a ship and passed over, and He came to His own city. And behold, which means check it out. Look at this, guys. Look at what just happened. Behold what, Holy Spirit? Behold, they brought unto Him a man who was paralyzed, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto them, Son, your sins be forgiven you. For time's sake, we won't read the whole account. You can read it later. This shows us here a great miracle of healing that took place of a paralyzed man who was healed in a meeting just like this and left the meeting completely healed, took up his mattress and walked home perfectly healed. And so at first glance, we're going to think He's saying, behold, Jesus healed a paralyzed man. Yeah, we should look at that, but that's not the first thing the Holy Spirit said to look at. The first thing He said to behold was what? Behold, they brought. No, they brought. No, He healed in this verse. What's more important? I don't know if we need to get caught up in the semantics of it. They're both vital. This man would not have been healed from a paralyzed, terrible condition if they hadn't brought him to the meeting and Jesus hadn't healed him. This is so important. They brought, He healed. There is a they brought ministry. You'll find in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, I'm just going to quote it to you. You don't have to look it up. It says, when the even was come, when the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus. Who's they? People who without Jesus couldn't have done three quarters of what he did in the healing area. They brought. Who's they? Very precious, important people that believed in the power of the Lord and the willingness of God to heal and to bring him to the place where he is. They brought unto him many that were possessed with demons. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. They brought, he healed. Other scripture says they brought a blind man unto him and he healed him. They brought a man unto him deaf, and he healed him. They brought, he healed. They brought, he healed. One thing that's really cool about this teaching is that they brought made the Bible. They got into Holy Scripture. How important is they brought? How important is it to be referred to many times in the New Testament? They brought is a very powerful thing. The Holy Spirit wants us to behold they brought. Why? Because without they brought, Jesus, pastors, leaders, anointed preachers and teachers cannot do even close to what they're supposed to do without the they brought ministry. People who believe in their local church, people who believe in the church as much as Jesus believes in the church, people who believe that the leaders are anointed, believing, coming in faith, expecting depression to be healed, tumors to dissolve, families to be restored, addictions to be broken. We need to believe these things. And when we're bringing people to this church, we need to come in faith so that when they come, pastor doesn't just see the sick person's faith. He sees their faith that brought them. And that's the kind of faith that causes power to be released in meetings just like this. We've got scripture for it. They brought a paralyzed man and Jesus saw their faith and the man left totally healed. This is exciting. We all have an opportunity to be involved in the they brought ministry. Oh, guys, this is amazing. Look at another scripture real quick here. Look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. They brought, he healed. Check it out, says the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. We is powerful. When we get together, when we hook up like we're supposed to be and everybody's doing their part in the body of Christ, that is so powerful it scares demons. That's why they're constantly trying to get us out of our place, get us to break rank, get us to think somebody else will take my place in the church. It's okay. It's not that big a deal. Huge deal. Satan hates the we thing. He wants us individualized and following our own little visions and doing all this disconnected from our part in the church, because the devil knows a team not assembled is not going to win anything. Yeah. Say this, we is he. So when we bring people to this church on Resurrection Sunday or any Sunday, when we bring people to this church, we're bringing them to Jesus. Because you and I are part of the body of Christ. And the body and the head are one. And they're going to see and experience more of Jesus in a church service than even one-on-one out there. As a matter of fact, if you get somebody saved out there and they don't get plugged into a family like this, they could slip back into the pollutions of the world, and the last state of that man can be worse than the first. The local church is so important. It's the inn where we bring people to be bound up and to have medicine poured into their wounds, like spiritually speaking, and to see people rise up and get delivered and move on and find their place in the church, their eternal purpose and calling. This is huge. And I just want to say this, guys, and I'm pretty much done for now, but we need to all consider making room for these things, because it's not just going to happen automatically. Most of us are over busy doing so many things that we don't have time to do things like this. Carl and I decided to sit down recently, and we decided to get on social media and share the post of the upcoming Resurrection Sunday of Dominic and Rachel, Pastor Dominic and Rachel. And then we started thinking, how many people can I text right now and invite them to the church service? And so we texted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people and already got a response from 2 that said they will be here. And then we got to thinking about other people that maybe through email or even a phone call or people we can hand cards out to. We know all kinds of people at the mall and other places. So we're making a journey out there on Friday. And I was thinking, everybody can do this. Now, let me ask you, church. How many know we can all do this? We settled that question last time, right? We can all do this because if we all got $1 million for doing it, we'd find out that we can do it. We can do it. Well, there's something more than $1 million at stake. It's the love for Jesus, his heartbeat. It pleases him. He wants heaven populated, and we get to help him do that. And so I know we can all do this. And I believe it's time to compel people to come. And I believe it's time to throw embarrassment aside, rebuke fear, like Pastor Dominic was saying tonight, resist fear, overcome nervousness, and realize there's some things you and I cannot do in heaven that we can only do now. There's no lost people to invite to church in heaven. There's no backslidden people to invite to church in heaven. There's no sick people to pray for in heaven. These are things we get to do in this very unique time right here, right now. So I want to encourage everybody, invite 100, but bring 1 at least. Bringing means you have got a full commitment out of them, right? Something, this is so important because if everybody in the church does this, the balcony would be packed, the main floor would be packed, and revival would be on, and something would change in the realm of the Spirit. Things would break, and a whole new course, maybe not new course, but a wider course, a greater influential course will hit this church. And powerful things will take place. Everybody say this. I am a they brought minister.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you're ever in our area, we would love for you to come and join us. Remember, if we love God, love people, we will change our world.